Hi, this is Simon Lextre and you're listening to the Waste the Hour podcast.
Welcome, everyone. This is Martin, and you're listening to the Wasted Hour podcast, the podcast about fashion, artists, inspiration, and creative culture. And I'm very happy to introduce today's guest, Simon Lextre, the fashion designer.
Hi. Hi, the Wasted Hour.
Thank you so much for taking the time today to talk with me. I wanted to talk a little bit, of course, about your background, how you got into fashion, and of course your current autumn winter collection that we are starting to stock at the Wasted Hour as well. But the first thing I wanted to ask, you grew up in the south of France, and I've just recently been there this summer, and I think it's just a beautiful nature. So I'm really curious, how was it growing up there?
At first it was really simple and obvious. I kind of got to look at it differently and maybe with more depth when I moved from there. So it's pretty recent. When I was a kid, I was just surrounded by caves and rivers and trees and nature and a really and pretty wild life. So I think that contributed to building my sensitivity to the natural world in general. And I wasn't really heading toward fashion at start. I was just like really interested into, I think the natural world and the quite low rhythm of it brought me to, I mean, it triggered my curiosity a lot. And I think that's what contributed to bring me to creative and artistic fields in general.
Yeah, because you didn't write a dive into fashion at first. You took like an history of art, ecology, and anthropology classes. What interested you about that? What exactly?
Well, I think at first, at the age of 16 or 15, I was already quite sure I wanted to head toward art and design for sure, and I was really interested into furniture and architecture. But what
did you know where that comes from? Like, was your perhaps your parents interested in that, or did you read a magazine when you were young?
Well, my mother did fine art when she was younger, and she stopped quite early. I don't know, like just life plans changed. And I think she always pushed me to work about, like, I mean, to stimulate my creative side, because she is someone creative. I've been doing music, I've been doing theater, I've been, you know, like painting, doing classes a lot. And I think I was asking for that as well, so it was a quite good balance, but it was really natural. Like, it didn't really seem to be, I haven't been pushed toward that, and I didn't even, yeah, it was just, I just preferred going to painting classes and doing clay sculptures than actually going to football or handball on Wednesdays, you know. It was just like something that I enjoyed.
Yeah. And then you dived into the history of art, but why also like archaeology?
Well, at first it was like art applied at high school. So it was quite general. And I think I liked creativity when the human being was really in the center place. I mean, it's kind of the basis of all the architecture, clothing, decoration, like a lot of purposes which are human centered, ergonomic, made for human. But I think what interested me and what still interests me is the fact of bringing the person in the center of the reflection. My approach is really centered about looking at people, the way they dress, looking at interactions, at social behaviors, the kind of piece of cloth that we actually prefer to others, what constitutes like a basic wardrobe. Like, it's just something that I was really interested to, and I think that's how the mix between creativity, like the cultural aspect and the natural aspect, just met. And I think progressively I've been going toward fashion more because it was the most obvious way to express creativity, the closest to the body. Mm-hmm. And that's actually how I got closer to this. And on a timeline, or I would say that I quickly got really interested also about the marks that we leave on Earth, and like everything that is socially the history of human, and mm-hmm. that's something when I was a kid going to caves and seeing, because I grew up in an area where you have a lot of prehistorical caves. Actually, 2 kilometers from here, there is one of the 7th sites in
Is it the same one Europe. That you shot your first lookbook at from exactly. your first collection?
Exactly, yeah. yes. And I've always been blow-minded, and still, like, I've recently watched a documentary by Werner Herzog about caves, and it's actually happening. I mean, the documentary is filmed in a cave in called Chauvet, and it's something that still fascinates me. Like it just forces you to be humble and to it's something that's as human beings we're not really used to tend to, and I think that's maybe why I'm trying to push toward this direction, but just like not considering the world and the human being as at the center of the world, but you know, like being cultivating fields and stories that bring this idea out of it, actually, just like being able to reconsider our role on such a long time. And I think that's what you can see if you look at nature, you look at stones, you look at trees, you can see things that are here for way longer than I'm here, actually. And I'm yeah. quite respectful for that. Like, and I think...
Because it puts things into context, I think. Because like, yeah, as well. Sometimes, yeah.
It's just... And it's also an open gate to poetry so much. Like, I don't know, you just look at some charcoal marks on a stone in a cave, and you're like, wow, like this is a few centuries and centuries and centuries and centuries, and like it's so much. It's just irrational, and it just takes you out of your condition. And I think that's something that I think is, or at least can be as strong as art. Mm-hmm. It's just creating a vertige. I don't know how you say that, but like the sensation.
The listeners can Google it. For the Google Translator. Yeah.
It's just like when you're doing climbing and you look down and like you get this this sensation which just actually basically take you out of the place you are and gets you dizzy. And that's a physical sensation, but I'm really into creating, or actually I am stimulating by this as a psychological sensation. I love this, yes. So I think I kind of find this in art, in culture, like, because it just brings your soul somewhere else. And I don't know why, but this is also something that I feel about, like, archaeology, just being looking at things when I'm always about climatology is also something that impressed me so much. I'm always like, it's irrational.
Yeah, but I think like all of those things you really bring together with your own fashion label, and or at least that's I can totally see when I look at your from the first collection on that you bring all those together. But what initially brought you to starting a fashion label or your own fashion label?
I think I was just really thrilled about keeping on telling what I had in my mind and just not having to compromise too much. I just felt it like I didn't have this this project of creating something to make a living or to create a company or something. No, that was just like a really biographical thing. Just something that was really obvious to me. I was just, it was a continuity of my studies and my research, and it took a while, but like, that's also why studies are done for, you know, like just trying things and getting out of your comfort zone. And the different schools that I've done actually led me to that as well, to know better myself and to know better my approach. And once it was launched, it would have just been a pity to put it aside and to compromise and just like to come back on Sundays, you know. I was just like,
yeah, you wanted to do something full time.
Yeah, full time forever.
How was the reaction to the first collection? Because I think it was autumn, winter 2017 that you did your first collection. And like I said before, like shot the lookbook in the cave. How was the reaction to that, and how did you present it, or how did you introduce it to other people?
It was a bit of an in-between project for me, because my first commercialized collection was 2 years later. And at that time, I was just done with school and I was back to the south of France. And I was actually at that time doing things a bit aside my work job, like my side job, and just like... It was a bit of an in-between situation between school and creating the brand, because the brand I created it like 2 years and a half ago. So that was like the end of 2017. And this collection was a year before. Mm-hmm. And that's actually that time where I met a few creatives whom I'm still working for actually now, a photographer, who is a friend of mine, and I think we have, when we met, we discussed about our graduation projects, and he, as a photographer, did something about creating scents from caves, and mm-hmm. it was also related to that, and it was a bit of a creative crush, and so yes, at that time that was also about doing research, and this collection was about archaeology in the way that it was really connected to caves and to this really scale of time which is really extended. And at the same time, I had a lot of references about nuclear sciences in this collection, so I was, I think, already maybe understanding or putting things together and create this contrast between more human-like things, like cultural things, sciences as well, and things that we do not belong to, like geology, topology, archaeology. I mean, archaeology is a science, of course, but it comes from an interest for something that we are not really related to. We're studying things that were here, traces and marks. So.
Yeah. I have to ask, because like when we first met, I think in Paris, you were one of the, it was like a year after I started The Wasted Hour, and you were one of the first labels that reached out to me to come to the showroom. And before that, the whole year, it was always for me the other way around. And I think like when we like first met at Palais de Tokyo, where you had your showroom, we really connected, and we were talking about landscapes from the first second as well. But I have to ask, because I'm curious, how did you find out about The Wasted Hour in the first place?
I think it's when I was living in Berlin for a quite short time, doing an internship at Kostas Morkudis, that I got quite into meeting people and knowing people that were doing fashion and creative things in Germany. And a friend of mine told me about your shop later on. And I was like, yeah. And I had also worked, also it was a side job, but I was doing some visual merchandising. And I've been going to cities in West Germany, to Frankfurt Hamburg as well. And so yes, after on, I was just like referencing a few stores, and I remembered about the one that I got suggested, that was The Wasted Hour. So I reached out.
The collection that she showed there, it was the Autumn Winter 20 collection, and it's so funny because it arrived today at the office and will be launched like I think tomorrow or the day after tomorrow at The Wasted Hour, so it's just the perfect timing. We're doing this interview today. The first thing that stood out to me as well, because one could say obviously as your connection to the nature as well and with your fashion brand, that you're like a more that you're also like one of the sustainable labels, but you totally approach it in another way. For me, starting like from the fabrics and the prints and the patterns and the forms and everything. And the first item that really stood out to me was the one, was the top and the t-shirt with the flower print on it. Can you tell the listeners how the colors and the print comes together?
Well, you said yes, that I have a sustainable approach, but it's true that I do not communicate about this so much, because when I was in school, I kind of worked like on it was my thesis, my bachelor thesis, that was about how to tackle the tendency of fashion industry to reject banality and to always keep on creating trends and to make them appear as fast as they fade. And I'm not someone who's really, I'm not practicing fastness in life. I'm watching things for quite a while. I'm taking time to build things. And that's also why it took me maybe like 2 or 3 years after school to decide that I would really launch the brand, and still like each collection, it's a new process, and I learn things a lot on my own and through collaborations with people, and I've been talking about this sustainability approach, but because it's not something that I want to make as a trend as well, it's really something that comes from my references and my. It's just my respect toward my environment. So it's really natural to me, and it took a while, but I like these processes where you create prints or where you interact on the garment in a really unique manner, because it just gives many possibilities through the process, and also, I mean, through the creative process, but also through the distribution, which is a reality, you know, and it allows me to propose pieces that have a technique, but this technique stays really wide and the result is really random. So it's also, I mean, that was one of my answers as a student to tackle this tendency of focusing on trends all the time. That was to bring the person, the viewer, the wearer, the consumer, everybody, like to bring everyone to reconsiderate his way of looking at things and to bring subjectivity. So through proposing pieces that have been made with a process that involves that each piece is different in the end.
Yeah.
It leads to look at things and to ask yourself, okay, do I prefer this one? Do I want this? Or do I prefer when the color fades a bit or when it's been exposed really strong? Because this time there were like flower prints. It's a Japanese technique that I discovered. It's called tatakizome, and it's flower pounding, basically. And
because you saw the flower waste from the flower shop next to your flat in Paris, right?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly, yes.
Yeah, that story always stayed with me when you told it, because like it's so funny. When I lived in Paris, there was a flower shop right next to my apartment as well, and I was always like heartbroken when they threw out their stuff or like...
Yeah, and I was also living next to the Père Lachaise Cemetery, so I was always so... I was passing in front of the bins, of the trash bins every Mondays, and I was like, wow, so many flowers just thrown away. Like, and it came actually like that. I was like, what can I do with this? And I looked and I found this Japanese technique, and I was like, wow, I must try that. And this came after another technique that was cyanotype that I did the year before, and it's basically sun printing, and this was also giving different results on each T-shirt because of the recipe of my UV light sensitive mixture and also the placement of the wheat flowers or all the plants that I could put on, and it was just creating negatives, and that's something that I found out when I was doing research about herborists. And that's the ancestor of photography. So I got really like thrilled by working with this, and it's a different technique, but it has the same result in the way that I can propose pieces that have a story in themselves. And it's not really, I mean, it's ready to wear because of the sizing, but it's not ready to wear in terms of viewing. Like each person can get the piece that they really like, and it's in a way bringing I mean that's also for me that's a sense, like that's a sustainable approach in the way that by giving the opportunity to someone to choose what they really want, they keep it for a longer time and they connect with the object, with the garment. And I mean, like sustainability for me is of course about the way you produce, where you produce, the way you, all these technical things, but it's also about the connection you have with something, and that you're going to purchase something, but that you're not going to throw it out like 2 days before, 2 days after.
Yeah, exactly. The other thing that I want to talk about from this collection is like the shapes and the patterns. What was the inspiration behind that?
Well, the shapes I was just collecting, you mean for the tatakizome?
Yeah.
Yeah. I was collecting flowers lately in fields in Ardèche, actually. And I made like compositions for colors, so I could like try to keep a systemic thing where I could compose mix of colors, and then on each t-shirt I could actually have basically a repetition of this. And I was doing it quite randomly, randomly in a way that I would let myself organize, and when I would see that it was too structured, or I would just change. And that's also why I was willing to find a balance between something that would stay alike from a piece to another, but at the same time that I would add something a bit different there, and then like I would just change a bit, I don't know, being a bit random, and at the same time controlling this randomness.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, I it makes like totally sense when you look at it. But I was just like, I'm always fascinated by this top, and I think it's one of my favorite pieces from the whole autumn winter collection.
This controlled randomness, thing is something that that is following me for years now. And I remember I was in school, and I've been doing something where I could actually wear it in more than 20 ways, because of the placement with zips, snap buttons, closure systems, and stuff like that. And I got really amazed by the simplicity of it and all the possibilities. And it's also, once again, placing the wearer in the position of freedom, of like being able to ask yourself, what do I feel like? What do I want? How do I want to wear it? And I think the less restrained it is, the best it is, and yeah, that's how I approach this. And I'm always trying to find new techniques that I actually like about creating pieces that are different and that are at the same time techniques that involve this controlled randomness.
Yeah. Why is it so important for you to tell a story with each collection? Because like I think each collection of you has like a title, and looking at the lookbook, for me it seems really poetic. And so I was wondering why it's important to you.
Because I feel like at least when I'm watching a documentary, when I am reading about a study, when I am even like appreciating a piece of art, or like getting fascinated by something in the street, is because I feel there is some depth behind, there is a story. And I always thought that I wouldn't do fashion for doing only clothes. And for me, it's really important for me, the collection is a result of a process and of a research, of a curiosity, and it's never the other way around. And that's basically why I'm also, with the recent lockdown and everything that changed a bit about self-organization, I was starting to be into these two collections a year process. And I realized that this fastness was also making things more difficult for bringing depth and personal input in what I was doing. So that's also why I decided to do one full collection a year with two lines. And that's because I was feeling like the industry system was bringing me into I was going there. It wasn't really bringing me, but I was heading towards something that was maybe getting a bit too far from my original interest about reinterpreting things that I got really interested into. So you can have the collections that you're going to have in store is basically the result of a strong interest for topology, and which brought me to Nazca lines and these kind of inspirations. Yeah, for me, it's an expression. It's the collection is a story and an expression, and it's not really about products in the end.
Yeah, it's really refreshing to see this, because I think a lot of labels put out collections just for the sake of putting out collections. And I think what this lockdown has really, or like the whole current situation has really shown us, that the whole like calendar with like four collections a year and everything is not just for everyone. I think like I always tell labels like that they should approach the things how they can do it and not try to be like a big brand which has like a big company behind them, so that they can pull off showing four collections a year. And I really like that now the whole calendar, which didn't make any sense before to me, now gets like loosens up and everyone starts showing their collection more or less when they are ready. And not when it's like, oh, it's like now it's June and we show menswear. Now it's September, we show womenswear. Yeah. And I think that's like so old fashioned. And I think we need something new about it. So it's really fresh to see how you're doing
it. Yeah, and I think that's the good thing about crisis in general. It's just that it just gives the opportunity to rethink things that we were considering as automatic things. And it's just... dismantling systems that are not always the best and the most adapted to situations. And I kind of feel like maybe the global connections as well with the internet the past decades brought new desires, and maybe it's also a mistake at some point to, as a small label, to refer to things that are so far from you. I mean, when you're a young designer and that you are willing, I mean, it's not my dream to become a big house with like hundreds of stores in the world. Like, that's not something that I relate on because my original approach is not led by this desire. And I think like it's good opportunities, and I think we're starting to have the tools actually to build communities and to communicate and reach people that are actually also willing to connect with the designers and the pieces that they're going to purchase, and it's at the same time really global, because you open the wide of the It's quite a wide range of people you can reach nowadays. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, it's also recentering on people, and it gives possibilities to exist to much more profiles. And I feel like this is very interesting.
Totally. But what would you say is like the biggest challenge for you as a younger and independent fashion brand?
Well, to find the right balance between keeping my sensitivity and making a sustainable business, you know, like that's something that you need to find the balance, and I think I am finding it. So I'm quite confident about doing so. But I think for me it's just to keep on doing the collections that I want to do, and to make things doable, and to keep on reaching out and getting approached by people that tell me how much they like what I do. And I really like this personal thing. Like I recently got in touch with a few customers that I've made through opening ceremony in the US, or recent customers from Japan, and it's always such an amazing thing for me to see them wearing my clothes and sending me DMs, and we're chatting, and I think that's such it just brings human to the first level of things, and I don't know, I think it's such a rich that's the biggest gift for me, so I'm kind of willing to keep on providing joy and making people happy for getting my pieces. So that's nice. And understanding what I'm doing. And,
Yeah. And I will send you a selfie as well when I'm like, because I ordered one or two things for myself too.
Great.
gonna send you latest like tomorrow.
looking forward.
You also said, what I also saw on social media is that you've been printing the new lookbook for your next season. Can you tell a little bit about it?
Yeah, it's coming out tomorrow. this collection has been I think one of the most personal so far, actually. Mm-hmm. Because I took time to do it, some things that I was thinking got quite legitimated by the crisis that we're having now with the coronavirus. It's weird because I would think that I would be a source of major problems, but in a way it kind of created the conditions for people I was talking to about things that I would like to do to make them more receptive to things, and so it kind of encouraged me to not really pay attention to show between the 15th and the 20th of June and to show between, you know, like being super close to calendars and market rules and stuff. And it's something that I was doing it because if you wanna, there are so many realities. It's a big market, the fashion industry, and I still get to understand it. And you kind of need to be where you need to be at the right time if you want to be, you know, in phase with so many actors, because you're not alone. That's an industry that is so wide, from the press to the buyers to the stores to the production. It's really complex and well settled thing. But that's why this crisis also brought kind of an unsettling, and then everybody was just like, okay, well, we're going to be late then, and things that were not considered as possible before actually got accepted, so it kind of
in the blink of an eye, you know, like from like in that, just like within like 4 weeks, some things are possible now that haven't been possible forever. Like that's what
everything seemed frozen, and actually you realize that the world is still on, and like, you know, you're so many brands showed in August, and so many brands even from London showed like 2 weeks ago or something. Like, you just like, it's just everybody. And I think, I mean, I'm quite happy about that in a way that I'm sure that so many designers faced the experience of being maybe even more happy of what they released, because it was maybe more personal, because they took this week more that they needed to look at things that they've done and being like, no, actually, this is looking much, much better. Or I prefer this. I put this aside. I should take this back. Things that when you're in a rush, you just cannot. And when you're doing 4 collections a year, you just have to accept that things are not done and you don't even have time to think about some things. So it's kind of, I'm quite happy about doing this. I mean, about having been able to do this collection, and this collection was triggered about two things that I discovered. There was the Chipko movement in India, and it's a feminist movement that protected trees by hugging them. It's a hugging tree movement. Yeah. So that was basically the main inspiration about my collection. So that was
you make me very curious right now.
that's something that I've been reading about last spring, and we worked hard on this like the whole summer, and we recently put things together, and I'm quite excited about this, and this is this comes as the first chapter of this 2021 collection, because I'll present in January a capsule line which will come as the autumn winter line, and we will still keep this main line, the spring summer as bass. So yes, I'm pretty excited about also starting this new way of processing, because that allows me to keep on researching things and to keep work on finding the right balance and a sensitive result about things, and not having to change too quickly pass to something else. So yeah, I'm also quite excited about this approach.
Cool. I'm very much looking forward to it, and now starting like the collaboration with you for the autumn winter collection.
Excited.
The last question I have for this interview, which I always put at the end, is just imagine it's like a coronavirus-free world right now, and you're at the airport, and you would be given a free flight. And where would you go to, and why?
I think I would go to see these nice skylines that which have been actually in the center of the autumn winter collections, because I've been really, really curious, and things that I've been reading about in books and on the internet always trigger my curiosity. And the caves I've been able to go last summer, and because they're just like around the place where I come from, so I often go there. But yeah, this I would definitely be super, super thrilled and emotionally really, really, yeah, that would be very, very great to visit there.
Cool. So thank you so much for taking the time, and yeah,
thank you, Martin.
Looking forward to everything that we're doing together in the future.
Yeah, I'm very looking forward to.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.